What's your position on civil rights? Like, generally.
It's like civil rights in general?
Yeah, just generally civil rights.
Pro.
You're pro civil rights.
I'm pro civil rights.
Well, you may be surprised to hear that doesn't seem like during the fog of war, Israel is very pro civil rights.
Oh.
I have an article here from Al Jazeera. The headline says, Israel police boss threatens to send anti-war protesters to Gaza on buses.
Yo.
the idea here is that this police chief, his name is Kobi Shabatai. I hope I said that right. Okay. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. But the article says, quote, Israel's police chief has said there will be, quote, zero tolerance for protests in support of Gaza in Israel, threatening to send anti-war demonstrators to the besieged Palestinian enclave that Israel has been bombarding daily for nearly 2 weeks.
What happened to the only democracy in the Middle East?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
What happened to our ally, our strategic ally, Israel, because they're the only democracy. They say themselves, the only democracy in the Middle East. You cannot fucking protest against the government, though.
Yeah, the entire pretext for us protecting Israel is like, oh my God, only democracy in the Middle East. We have to protect it. And then suddenly in wartime, not that like they ever really had civil liberties for Palestinians, of course, but in wartime, suddenly anti-war protesters, they're like the bedrock of civil liberties, being able to be a dissident goes out the window, completely out the window. If you want his exact quote, he said, quote, whoever wants to become an Israeli citizen, welcome. Anyone who wants to identify with Gaza is welcome. I will put him on the buses heading there now.
Oh my God.
I'm like, what this translates to
is I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to support Gaza, you can go and die with them too. Or if you want to have a little bit more charitable of a translation here, it's the political equivalent of saying, if you like Gaza so much, why don't you marry it?
Yeah. Holy shit, man.
Quite the story.
That's quite the story. Quite the quote to come out of a person pretty powerful in the government there.
Yeah. I don't think he has like the power to like do this in mass. He's just a police chief, right? I don't know how it works with him in relation to the IDF, but I would imagine police chief may not be able to do this. I hope not. No,
yeah,
right?
I would hope not. I can't imagine they will, but they can go and brutalize protesters.
Yeah. Of course, civil liberties in Israel have never really been a thing, of course, right? It's not a democracy. If you have apartheid, it's clearly not a democracy. But for a person with power, obviously political and authoritative power, to come out and say something like this is quite wicked. It's quite mask off, right?
Yeah.
If you support Gaza, you might as well go die with them, is what he's saying. Or I will make you go die with them.
A nice illustration of the far, far right government over there.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It is similar to when 9/11 happened and, you know, there was a crazy war fervor in this country. And I feel like people probably said the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, well, if you like Afghanistan so much, if you like Iraq so much, why don't you go live there? Uh-huh. It's like, that's exactly the point, is I wouldn't want to go live there because we're invading. You know what I mean? Or in the case of Gaza, I wouldn't want to live there because of how you treat them, how you're in support of treating
them. I'm anti this war because it's bad over there. Why would I want to go over there?
Anyway, gotta love that. Gotta love more warmongering.
Yes.
The kind of, antithesis of civil liberties for liberal democracy.
Gotta love democracy.
Yeah, the bedrock of what democracy is supposed to be nowadays, you know, being able to have free speech, advocate against people, against the state, importantly, the government. But I have a feeling that the anti-big government conservatives are not going to come out of the woodworks to condemn this one.
Definitely not, because it just feeds into their own hyper-violent fantasies.
Yeah. What, you think people should be able to critique the government?
Are you crazy? What's going on here?
What, do you hate America? I mean, hate Israel?
Man, the only democracy in the Middle East is such a low bar. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
I love it. Welcome back to Head in the Office, everybody. Little sneak peek behind the scenes. We're recording pretty early today.
That's right.
It's right now 10:38 a.m. Eastern time.
Honestly, if you ask me, this is the closest to an actual sermon that the Sunday sermon has ever
been. That's a good point. We're right now in session, just like Sunday masses or whatever.
Should have fucking live streamed it.
I got my coffee and I'm ready to go. And you may think you have deja vu because we're talking about the same shit again.
Who'da thunk?
It's Israel and it's the House. Conflicts that have been resolved.
That are incredibly hard to resolve.
Like you said last episode, that's just October.
Yeah.
The October news month is literally just speaker news and Israel-Palestine. And something else. Crazy. You got something else in here. I know that.
We got a little surprise at the end, heading back to indictment news.
Yeah, but I'm gonna guess it pales in comparison.
Yeah.
To war news,
genocide,
and the government not working. Anyways, welcome back to Head in the Office. I hope you all are happy to be here. I hope your week's been going well.
I do too.
And you know what else I hope?
What do you hope?
I hope you consider supporting the show by heading over to patreon.com/headintheofficepod and getting access to all of our content. We're not asking for it for free.
Exactly. Getting access to the Sunday sermon on Sunday when it's delivered.
We're not asking for your support by giving nothing in return, right? We're giving you something.
Exactly.
You get early access to Sunday sermon. You could be joining us whenever this goes up at like noon or whatever.
Exactly. And keeping with that, you know, symbiotic relationship here. You give us reviews. Mm. We read those reviews.
Exactly.
So why don't we start with this beautiful one, Southern Charm by Shack Attack. The Hiddle Boys are the most entertaining cishet white boys I've ever heard. Also a low bar. Mm-hmm. As a queer leftist woman going to college in the ass crack of Georgia, this podcast provides me all the ammo I need to hold my ground against know-it-all conservatives, aka literally every other person you meet. You'd be fucking surprised. They really aren't shy about it either.
They're
oh
everywhere.
My God. They're everywhere. You can't get away. Mm-hmm. As someone who has been a listener for about a year now and has been through all the episodes, I can confidently say that these boys are true allies. I recommend you listen to the sermon at least once a week. If you don't get addicted after that, thanks, Jeremy, for helping me commit time theft and procrastinate my homework.
Hey, Jeremy Engage.
Love.
No Gage eraser.
Jeremy Engage.
Yeah.
I'm
going to erase yourself.
You know, I'm just like so insecure, guys. Your fave hiddo head.
All right. Moving on to the next one here by X-Charger, Bridging the Generation Gap. Thank you, Jeremy Engage, for bridging the generations. My Zoomer son finds my self-serious Gen X leftist politics to be tedious. Fortunately, after I found you guys on an episode of Best of the Left, we can now bond over your hilarious insights on both the conservative ghouls and liberal pretenders.
Yes.
You guys have filled the Jon Stewart-sized hole in my heart. I now look forward to laughing my way through the horrors of the crumbling U.S. empire and global late-stage capitalism. Keep the sharp takes coming. I didn't know, or is that Best of the Left like another show where we featured or something? And I don't know about it.
Wait, huh? I think on episode of Best of the Left, because we haven't titled anything Best of the Left.
Yeah, so maybe if we were featured,
hey, yo, hit us up.
Yeah, if other creators feature us, like, we want to know about it. You know what I'm saying? So send it our way.
I'd like to know where my voice is being
spread. If only so that we can like say thank you and like offer thanks for platforming.
And
us,
you know, submit a takedown notice, copyright request,
yeah, just
revenue
seize
seizure.
All of the money. Yeah, exactly. Hey, we got to make the money where we can't fuck.
Hey man, come on. You
if you put 2 seconds of us on anything, we are copyright striking.
Done.
Getting your channel
taking
taken down. All the revenue is ours.
But in all seriousness, hit us up. Unless, did we title anything that? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Huh. Yeah, I got a working dictionary of all 100 some of our episode
exactly.
titles in our head.
Yeah. It's in there.
Exactly. This one's from Mariel on IG. I found you guys on TikTok and have been listening consistently since. Living in Canada, American politics doesn't have a very direct effect on me, but I've yet to find a leftist pod that talks about Canadian politics that's anywhere near as entertaining and easy to follow, as they make things very easy to get, even if you know very little about politics. Sorry if this is a long review. Have a great day. You have a great day.
That was a review I dropped the ball on, by the way. Beginning of October,
oh,
this person messaged
goodness.
Us and then followed up and asked me to put it on. Or to review it, because like we didn't get to it.
Yeah.
And then I said I would. I didn't. But now we're getting to it now. You know what I mean? 3 weeks later, and my promises made, promises kept.
Everyone makes mistakes sometimes, really. It's about growing from those mistakes. Like, that's all I'm going
to
say.
Trust me, I'm trying to be a better person. I'm growing. I'm trying to reflect on my own shortcomings.
We're putting in the work. We're making amends. And we're giving back.
Speaking of making amends, let's talk about how amends are not being made.
And
transition into our first news story for today.
I bet you can guess what it is.
I tried really hard to make that transition work. I have a feeling it didn't land too well. That's all right. It's early in the morning. I didn't stick the landing, right?
Exactly.
So whatever.
We just woke up, guys. Come on. Like, I haven't even had my coffee yet.
We're heading over to Israel again. Not going to be boots on the ground, but, you know, covering it as we do. So according to Al Jazeera, as of Saturday, October 21st, the first humanitarian aid convoy has entered Gaza from Egypt. It was a measly convoy of only 20 trucks carrying food and water, but
that's
no fuel. Importantly, 20 trucks is basically nothing for 2.2 million people, especially because they've been cut off from the necessities of life for weeks
at
this
point. Water and food. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking semi-trucks here, are we? We're not talking big 18-wheelers.
I mean, they looked like, from the pictures I saw, it looked like flatbeds with some stuff stacked
flatbeds?
On top.
Flatbeds? I thought you were at least going to say like a U-Haul.
Not like pickup trucks, but like, I don't know how to explain it. Okay. It's like, it's got a decent amount of space on it. It's not nothing,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
But it's a drop in the bucket for what people need, especially because resources like food and water run out, right? They're not infinite. And there are 2.2 million people in Gaza that can't leave.
1.1 million people that need to go like, what, 10 miles?
Yeah.
To evacuate?
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, so I don't really know what 20 trucks is going to do. This has been hailed as like some W by a couple of liberals. I think Joe Biden had either, if he didn't have a hand in it, his Secretary of State did. And it's just like, it's not enough, right? Yeah. Like we're talking 2.2 million people. Sure, it's something, I guess, but to look at this and think like, oh, thank God, I'm so relieved. Like, obviously not.
Guys,
it doesn't do anything.
We gave some. We gave some, and that's it. Only just a little bit, though, but we gave.
Yeah.
Because we're givers.
This news happens while the death toll for Palestinians has reached around 4,400, about a third of which being children still, as we talked about last episode. So the death toll continues to climb. I wrote that 4,400 number yesterday morning after mm-hmm. looking at a couple of news sources. So it could be close to 5,000 now, right? Like, we don't know exactly how many.
Yeah.
But the number of Palestinians dead has obviously already, as we talked about last episode, dwarfed how many Israelis died in the initial attack. And it's going to continue to climb. It doesn't look like there's any holding back.
And also dramatically increased.
Yeah.
Last week, wasn't it like 2,000?
2,500, I think.
2,500.
Yeah.
2,000. Like, we're going up exponents here.
Yeah, no, it's really not good. And the food and water getting in is just not sufficient. The U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, thanked Egypt and Israel for their cooperation in getting the convoys through, which is just like,
Israel,
come on now.
Thank you for letting some people get food and some water. Israel, you are really a saint here.
Yeah, at the onset of this whole conflict, a lot of liberal types had said, like, Joe Biden's not going to come out and immediately criticize Israel or criticize Netanyahu publicly because it might be counterproductive and might work against Israel actually being drawn back in their response here. But it feels like, you know, he's come out with unequivocal support. He's thanked Israel. He said, like, well, we need to get humanitarian aid into Palestine. But, like, I feel like at this point you need to just... If you're not putting sanctions directly on Israel for what they're doing, then you need to come out and say, like, yeah, Netanyahu's just killing innocent people.
And it's like, if the situation,
there's no pressure.
If the situation is bad enough to where you need to submit, like, X amount of dollars of humanitarian aid, shouldn't you be condemning the side that is making that humanitarian crisis?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be putting some pressure on them or saying something? We're kind of just letting Israel boss us around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
I don't know exactly where the funding for humanitarian aid came from, but if the U.S. had anything to do with it, I mean, there's an argument that that's taxpayer money, right?
Yeah.
And I would argue, in this case, it's obviously being well spent, but the reason that it has to be spent is because of Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Israel's the reason that humanitarian aid needs to get into Palestine right now, or needed to even before this conflict. I don't know exactly if it's U.S. dollars, or even if it's the taxpayer money from other countries. It's like, Israel is costing taxpayers from European nations, potentially UN nations, and they get thanked for it? Like, what's going on here?
Well, I mean, even speaking on just costing American taxpayers money, we can transition over to this. On one hand, on Wednesday in Tel Aviv, because you know Biden had to go and show his unequivocal support to Netanyahu, Biden promised to give $100 million of humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza.
Oh,
per Politico, he also spoke to the members of the Israeli cabinet and got them to agree to allowing food and water and medicine to flow into Gaza. I don't think that means turning on the water. I think it just means letting trucks in. Biden has also said straight up, if Hamas starts doing anything funky with this, we're cutting it all off.
Nice.
Which it's like, okay, you kind of know Hamas is going to do something, but like that can't stop aid from entering.
That was my wonder here as well, is like, what mechanism do Palestinians have within the region broadly for distributing humanitarian aid? I don't exactly know.
There are like organizations within that can help out.
I would imagine though, like Hamas being Hamas, bad guys. Uh-huh. Are going to seize it to some amount.
There's going to be X degree of aid that probably won't get where it's supposed to be. But I don't think that's a good enough reason to cut off aid and halt any future aid from being able to enter the region.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you yourself are admitting that this is a humanitarian crisis and you want to help. But then you say, well, you know, it's on our terms.
Especially when you're saying like, $50 a person. You know what I mean? Like, you're already saying so little and now you're, I don't know. It's bad. It's really bad.
It's crazy. But also, on the other hand, they wouldn't need to send that aid in the first place if we weren't so complicit in Israel's ongoing genocide. you can't play both sides here, especially when you pledge, what, $50 per person, $100 million in aid to the people of Gaza who are under literal siege right now. Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday, Joe Biden, in a conference, called on Congress to give $14.3 billion dollars to Israel for a, quote, unprecedented aid package, including support for military financing, embassy support, and air and missile defense again, which feels like air and missile offense, which is the exact reason you need the humanitarian aid in the first place. But who the fuck am I?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you say $100 million for Palestinians and then $14.3 billion for Israel. Like, they don't need it, dog. No. They're good.
No.
They've done, like, what, 6,000? More than 6,000. 6,000 was the number last week. But 6,000 bombing runs since the beginning of this conflict. What are we talking about?
They've done enough. I think they're good. I think they're chilling on the bombs. I don't think we need to supply more bombs that we're just going to end up paying for the damage. We're paying for the bombs, and we're paying for the damage that the bomb costs. Usually, when you play both sides, you do so where you come out on top.
And you're making money.
And you're making money. Yeah. But I feel like there's not really a way here that we come on top, especially considering the low bar for the only democracy in the Middle East.
Yeah, it would have been one thing had Biden announced like a humanitarian aid package for Israel that was a couple billion dollars, right? Helping out the families that, you know, lost family members because of the Hamas attack or areas that have been destroyed by Hamas bombs or what have you. But this is just like directly being used for like defense.
Genocide.
for like active
genocide funds.
Military operations, genocide funds. What are we doing?
I don't know. And I can't wrap my head around it. I really can't, because he's negotiating opening up corridors so that they can get some aid in, whatever that aid may be.
Yeah.
And then just doing this.
Yeah.
What happens when Israel bombs the corridors you opened like they have before?
Yeah. It kind of just tells me that Biden is doing the humanitarian aid for Palestine. Like, first of all, I don't think Biden wants this conflict to be happening.
No,
I don't think he cares
not.
Really what happens to Palestinians, but I think this is pretty bad for him politically. He didn't start the war, obviously. The U.S. has been complicit in what Israel's been doing for decades, of course. But Joe Biden himself didn't start this conflict, but it's going to be pinned on him as if he did, right?
Oh,
the
yeah.
mantra for Trump is always like, he didn't start any new wars, but it is revealing that he's like, yeah, $100 million for Palestinians. And he's like, but really, I want to give $14 billion to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows where his priorities are.
Yeah, no, this is going to be awful for him electorally.
Yes.
Just considering the election coming up, especially when he goes against Trump and a significant portion of the country believes that Trump brought peace to the Middle East and believes that Trump could solve any conflict in a day.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to break through.
I mean, I can't even think of any politician, any president in the last several decades that's actually liked Netanyahu.
No.
Trump didn't like Netanyahu, not for the same reasons that like Biden doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think Obama had voiced frustrations with Netanyahu. Even Bill Clinton, and that was before Netanyahu was prime minister, didn't like Netanyahu because he's a fucking maniac.
There's a clip of Netanyahu lecturing Obama for like 6 minutes about just like Israel's history or some shit, isn't there? Gas. And he's sitting there like,
it's wicked that none of these dudes like Netanyahu, like Republican, Democrat presidents, none of them like him, yet all of them are capitulate to him so hard.
Like, I don't get it.
We're about to get to like the bombing of the hospital that I'm sure all of you heard about, that we have to talk about all the nuances of course. But when Biden visited Tel Aviv, he was basically just deep throating Netanyahu the whole time, saying like, it looks like it's completely conclusive that your guys didn't do this. He's saying other things like, you know, we're going to protect you, we're unequivocally standing with Israel, all that kind of stuff. Like, if you hate this guy so much and he's been in power, he's going to continue to be in power, why do you just fully surrender everything to him?
And it's
what are we doing?
Like, why is he lying on Netanyahu's behalf too? And this goes back to the 40 beheaded babies things that can't be confirmed.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just false at this point.
It's a fucking lie because what was it? Netanyahu and the IDF came out and claimed 40 beheaded babies. Joe Biden said in a press conference or a speech, one of the two, a speaking appearance, he said straight up, I saw the pictures. I can confirm that 40 dead babies were killed. And then when a reporter asked the White House about it, the White House came out, made a statement saying they can neither confirm or deny any of that. They haven't seen the pictures. And the IDF, to an Israeli news source, said, yeah, we also can't confirm that the pictures are real. We can't confirm that we really saw anything. We can't confirm this happened. But that didn't get broadcasted everywhere. They let the damage happen. Like, why are we lying on their behalf?
You think they actually showed him pictures of like dead babies, beheaded babies?
And he just believed it?
And he was just like, oh, they were like, this happened in Israel.
Oh, it had to be.
Or he just made it up, right? That could also be the case.
I think he was just lying.
Yeah. It's like the beheaded babies thing is wicked. And this will fold into my take with the hospital thing too, is like, kids already did die, mm-hmm. right? You don't got to lie about it.
No.
You don't have to. I think what they're trying to do is make it seem more violent, right? It's an emotional appeal to get people mm-hmm. even more angry at Hamas. But it's like as if saying they killed children wasn't enough. You know what I mean? Like they have to go further and say, like, no, they beheaded them purposefully. Look at all these babies that I actually don't have the pictures of. I actually can't confirm this happened.
I actually can't confirm this happened. But like, if it did, wouldn't that be wicked though? Because they would, they'd do something like that, and it'd be crazy. No, it's like that. It's the tweet the IDF tweeted where they're like, from some 7 year old, mm-hmm. mommy, I'm too young to die. I never fucking believe that one. Mm-mm. You're just tweeting. You could have wrote that. It's just dialogue. Just dialogue. What are you doing?
Bro thinks he's Socrates or something.
And they also, they tweeted something recently. It was like an animation in like a children's book style.
Yes,
about
I saw that.
Mama Bear. It was some shit like, you know, Mama Bear, Mama Bear's not with her cubs right now. She needs to fight back to get them.
That shit was crazy.
Who is that
propaganda.
For? Who the fuck is that for? If not to radicalize the children of Israel? It's a children's video.
Yeah.
It's styled to be a children's video. What are we doing?
Well, and importantly, the Palestinians there depicted as like wolves that are trying to kill the family.
Yeah.
Right? Because like the ending shot there is the kids in like a jail cell and the wolves are walking by. But then you realize that the wolves were just the shadows and it's actually like people in military uniforms, Hamas dudes or whatever. Like that was wicked.
That's it. What about the fucking birds flying by dropping shit all over the place?
Well, I mean, it's dehumanization, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's what Nazis did. It's what other fascist groups have done in the past. They depict their enemies as animalistic to justify the killing of them. Mm-hmm. It's easier to kill an animal than it is to kill a human, right? And it's easier to manufacture consent, especially among young people that are so terrified of what happened. So, that was a crazy video.
The need to make children's videos about this is nuts.
Or the need to, like... Israel right now, the IDF is posting like a Facebook boomer it would post. You
Hell
know what
yeah.
I mean? With like the text that they post for their like status
the
updates
text
or whatever.
On the fucking gradient background.
Yeah, like there was one thing they did, which was basically like the gradient background text post where it was like, if you don't stand with Israel, then you stand with our enemies, which is just like the Anakin Skywalker, George W.
You're
Bush
not
thing.
With me. Yeah. You're my enemy. Sideways laughy face. Sideways laughy face.
And it's like that Anakin quote was based off what George W. Bush said for the war on terror, you know what I mean? Like, it's literally the same shit. The same shit is happening.
Repeating history.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of geopolitical complications. There's a lot of history when it comes to Israel, but it really is the same playbook. That Western funding really got to their psyche, I guess, because they're responding the exact same way.
They're just
wicked.
They're just fucking crazy. They're posting like I've never seen a government post before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God. Like, imagine if Ukraine posted like that. Mm-hmm. That would be wicked.
That'd be wicked.
There was a meeting in Cairo, Egypt on Saturday. This, I wasn't able to get to the news on this. Apparently it was just a bunch of different leaders. Notably, the U.S. was not there and Israel was not there.
Of course.
And they were talking about a ceasefire. I don't know how you get to a ceasefire without like, the major person doing the firing and the group that's like in support of them doing the firing. I don't know how you get there without that. But apparently there was some kind of meeting. I don't know if anything productive came of it. I think someone from the Palestinian Authority was there. I don't know that Hamas guys were like invited to this thing.
Yeah, but what's the PLA going to do?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Fucking nothing. Yeah, they have no control over the Gaza Strip. They have no control over what Hamas does.
Yeah, exactly. And like, even if Hamas was there and was like, yeah, we can stop. Like, I don't think anything, like, I don't think Israel would stop.
No, never.
Or even if they did, like what?
Well, you know, because if Israel stops, then all of them would be dead.
Well, I mean, they already have 5,000 dead bodies laying at their feet right now. And almost all of the deaths for Israelis happened October 7th, the first day of the attack.
Yeah.
Without those two, without the United States and Israel involved in any ceasefire talks, I don't know how you get anywhere. Especially because like the U.S. could be a huge voice here.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't expect much from Biden, but it is disappointing to see him operate like this. No Republican would be better, obviously. Like, Trump wouldn't be, like, you know, from the river to the sea or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So, it's just bad.
It's like, if Biden really wanted humanitarian aid to get into Gaza, if he really cared about the people of Gaza, he would be at that talk trying to negotiate for a ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
He would be trying to do anything that he could to stop what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Because I keep seeing people talk about this in a way like, well, Israel has the right to defend itself. I feel like we have gone so far past the realm of defending yourself. Mm-hmm. They didn't just get a simple get back. To say the least, they did not just get their get back and stop.
Yeah.
They are actively continuing to go. They have escalated the conflict far beyond the parameters of what originally happened.
Well, and here's the thing, and I can't believe I forgot to bring this up in the previous episodes, but nobody gets to have an ethnostate.
Yeah.
Because an ethnostate always requires ethnic cleansing.
Yeah.
At best, it's going to be, what, forcibly removing people from their homes and kicking them out of their land. And at worst, it's going to be concentration camps or just mass death, right? An ethnostate can never be justified. It always has to be pursued with state violence. Mm-hmm. And it's always going to result in either, if it's not one group just being placed as dominant while all others are like second-class citizens, it's the complete eradication of the group considered to be inferior.
Yeah.
And this, of course, applies to white supremacists, which ethnostates are usually associated with. Obviously, white ethnostate, never going to be justified. But this also applies to Israel or any
Both
other...
Both apply to Israel in the West Bank and Gaza.
This would apply to any ethnic group or race group that wants to establish themselves as dominant at the expense of all others. An ethnostate can never be justified because it can only ever be enforced by violence. No one gets to have an ethnostate. It restricts freedom. It's undemocratic. It's anti-equality. It shouldn't be allowed. We shouldn't ever stand for it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the United States is so tied up in supporting an ethnostate, which is what Israel is attempting to be. Nobody gets to have one.
No. No, no.
Simple as.
Nobody has a right to an ethnostate.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
It's not great to see. I'm not in support of an ethnostate. Hot take, no ethnostates.
Yes, hot take.
Axiomatically, no ethnostates.
Yes.
And if you're not for that, then I don't know. You're pro-genocide. You have to do a genocide to get an ethnostate. It's as simple as that.
And it's like, I understand that there may have been like a moment for like, there may have been a moment where there's popular support for like, okay, after World War II, maybe these people do need a place to go so that they're not oppressed. But that argument also extends to pretty much every oppressed minority throughout history.
Yeah.
It's simple as that.
I totally understand Jewish people wanting a space, or there being like a sentiment among the Jewish community where like you want a space where you can be safe because throughout all of history, you've been the scapegoat for like every crisis ever. I understand that argument, but your liberation cannot come at the expense of others. Just because you have been treated terribly throughout history doesn't mean that you can turn around and do the same thing. And I'm not saying that Israel represents like Judaism as a community, as an ethno-religion, right? But what they're doing in the name of protecting Jewish people is trying to establish an ethno-state of their own. And you can't do that. It's never justifiable. No. If you want to be free, then it has to include the freedom of other people as well. And I would have this take no matter what. Again, an ethnostate is never going to be justified. Because if it is, if you're allowed to have an ethnostate because you've been oppressed previously, then that would justify what Hamas wants to do to them. Which is unjustifiable, right? What Hamas wants to do is eradicate Jewish people in Israel, maybe the entire world, and that's evil. Everyone recognizes that's evil. Oh, man. It's just, I feel like people today just don't understand, like, ethnostates are bad. You know what I mean? Never going to be justified. You don't get to have one. I don't care how bad you've been oppressed throughout history. Nobody gets to have one. Especially not white people.
Especially not white people. Let me tell you that.
Too long. Oh, man. Anyway, time to move. Get back to the news.
Yeah. Time to talk about a certain hospital.
Yeah. One other important piece of news this week was the controversy around a hospital bombed in Gaza. You all might have heard about this. This was pretty big news on, in classic kiddo fashion, Tuesday of last week. So here's the gist. Early in the morning on October 27th, or on October 7th, on October 17th in Gaza, it's been a tough morning. There was a large explosion at the Al Ali Arab Hospital. Hopefully I said that right. The explosion apparently happened near a parking lot, so not directly on top of the building. That's what analysts have said, at least. But the Ministry of Health in Gaza has claimed that 500 people were killed in this bombing. Officials in Palestine blamed Israel for the attack pretty quickly after it occurred. Israel denied these allegations and claimed it was a misfired rocket from the Islamic Jihad group. There's a ton of misinformation out there right now, so we'll try to break it down best we can. But spoiler warning, it seems inconclusive.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't draw a conclusion from the evidence that's available. Apparently everyone else thinks they can. Suddenly everyone's a fucking ordnance expert.
Yeah.
Everyone knows about munitions.
Everybody's
now.
Seen every type of explosion, knows every type of fucking bomb that's ever been dropped ever.
If you're ever like hesitant to stake claim on a take, like that's okay. You know what I mean? Like you can say, I don't know. You can say based on the evidence, this is what you should do.
Uh-huh.
You should say based on the evidence available, either I don't know or this is what it looks like. But I am open to evidence changing my mind as any rational person would be.
Yeah.
But that seems like that's not what's happening right now. Now, on its face, this seems like something that Israel would do, right? They've done it before. They've bombed hospitals before. Right now, they're killing innocent civilians. It doesn't seem beyond the pale that they would also bomb a hospital and kill 500 more civilians.
Really?
They don't seem to really care.
I feel like that kind of says enough.
Yeah.
The fact that it's believable that Israel would do this, I think says enough. Mm-mm.
And that's where the preponderance of evidence was at the beginning, right? Yeah. Like, knowing that Israel has a history of doing this, of doing war crimes, they're doing war crimes right now. It's not like they've avoided hospitals in the past, right? That's enough evidence to suggest, like, yeah, it was probably them, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's where a lot of people landed at first, or at least people on the left. Of course, people on the right reflexively said, like, no, it couldn't have been Israel just because that's what they do.
Israel, however it should have.
Well, yeah, they're like, well, it could have been, and I would have been in support of it.
And if they did it, it would have been okay.
It would have been justified, yeah. On top of that, one of Israel's Twitter accounts claimed responsibility for the attack in a post that's now deleted. However, that post, apparently, I've learned, was based on information provided from a source that apparently couldn't have known, just didn't know.
Okay.
Which means, at best, the IDF accidentally retweeted misinformation, and at worst, they were being honest about it and just took it down right after. I don't know the exact nature of this.
And again, like, I can't stress enough, that's a crazy at best. That's a crazy at best that someone said, hey, I think you guys bombed a hospital, and they're like, fuck yeah, we did. Hell yeah, we bombed that hospital.
Again, right-wingers just reflexively like, yeah, we did, and it was justified. Bitch.
Yeah, it was sick, actually, dumbass.
Like, for Israel to have this supposedly world-class intelligence agency, right?
Yeah.
Just for them to not vet that information, to not know where their bombs are dropped. Like, that, to me, speaks to, if they didn't bomb this hospital, they're dropping so many bombs that they were like, yeah, we probably did.
And they wanted to. They wanted to, definitely. Yeah,
if it ended up being, like, Hamas or whatever, they're like, damn, I wish we could have got to it first.
They were cooking over there.
The IDF also released what they claimed was leaked audio of Hamas guys talking about the exact attack in pretty clear language.
Oh, it was fake.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's 100%.
There's not a doubt in my mind. Obviously, it's not like in English. It's mm-hmm. subtitled. You can probably go find it if you want. But it's the most like Spider-Man eavesdropping on villain shit I've ever seen. You know, in a game where like you'll eavesdrop and they're like, yeah, boss is in the back room or fucking with it. Like, it is the most scripted shit I've ever seen. It's not real.
God, didn't they also post a video that just had the wrong timestamp on it too?
Yep. Israel had posted a video of like a misfiring rocket to say like, oh, this wasn't us. Like, you can clearly see we didn't launch this rocket, but the timestamps were incorrect. So that obviously does not exonerate them.
And it's
in this
like,
case.
I feel like that's a pretty big fumble on your part. Like, if you're trying to exonerate yourself for this and you're just tweeting a video with the wrong timestamp, that's crazy.
So all of this, I'm pretty sure all of this information is what like came out first. So obviously Israel's already looking pretty bad here.
Yeah.
They've already tweeted misinformation out, allegedly. They also had the wrong timestamps on a video. It's really not looking good for them. But on the other hand, blast analysts, like actual people that understand like blasts and the physics behind them, have said that the aftermath of the explosion suggests a smaller bomb, since the IDF bombs leave like craters behind typically.
Cool.
Which is, you know, funded by the United States.
Nice.
Some have also suggested that the death toll at the hospital could have been inflated by Hamas for public appeal, even if the rocket truly was from the IDF.
Yeah.
I haven't seen images of bodies, of course, mm-hmm. but I don't really know what to make of this. This is just like the argument some people are making.
It's all the hearsay around it.
From what I can tell, there's really not conclusive evidence one way or the other. I won't I'm not going to pretend to be a munitions expert here. But my take is that the optics argument really doesn't matter. It's just like the beheaded babies things, right? Like, if Hamas did misfire a rocket and then they were trying to blame it on Israel as a means to evoke disgust among their own population against Israel, like, you already got that. You don't need to lie about it. They could still be lying about it, but like, it really doesn't matter. Israel's still committing war crimes either way. I think people just get wrapped up in the optics. 500 people dead is a staggering number, and it's important to get as much right as we can. But in the fog of war, you're not going to be able to get all information possible.
No, absolutely not. And I mean, even just switching back over to Israel, the New York Times reported and confirmed that the same hospital was hit by a rocket fire on October 14th, 3 days before, in which 4 people were injured. And the Anglican Church, which oversees the hospital, said in a statement that the October 14th airstrike was Israel's responsibility. Health officials within the hospital said they had been receiving messages saying that they needed to evacuate the hospital, specific to that hospital, but Israel fired back by saying, no, actually, we told all of the hospitals to evacuate, so it wasn't just you. We told all 20 hospitals to evacuate, so...
And it's crazy, because, like, Israel right now, doing crazy bombing runs, right? Yeah. Like, just carpet bombing the area, a war crime, right? Like, just doing insanely awful things to Palestinian people. When you're killing people en masse, when you are injuring people en masse, they go to hospitals.
Uh-huh.
You can't tell the hospitals to evacuate. Otherwise, more people just die. And obviously, if you've taken the fucking Hippocratic Oath and you say you're going to save as many people as you can, you're in an active war zone, you're not just going to abandon the patients in front of you.
Well, no, Jeremy, you should say, I'm sorry, North Gaza was told to evacuate. You need to go 10 miles to South Gaza to get to the other hospital if you want to have help for this life-threatening wound.
If you've lost the ability to walk, if you've got like a crippled limb or something because rubble's falling on you from, you know, bombing runs from Israel, what do you expect to do? You can't just evacuate the hospital. And I think Israel knows that. And it's crazy at this point how we can look at a situation where Israel's like, yeah, you, even if they said you got to evacuate this one hospital, right?
Yeah.
Say they got 200 patients in there and they said you got to evacuate the hospital. Those people don't evacuate. Some of them don't, and say they die. I feel like people on the right would be like, well, they were told to evacuate.
I mean, they have.
Like, how is destroying critical infrastructure like politically neutral now? What are we talking about?
Man, it's nuts.
It's actually nuts.
And that has been, and that's not even a stretch to say, because that has been the defense for what's been happening over the last week. It's, well, they should have got out of there then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should just leave. If they were told to evacuate North Gaza, so Israel's not liable for anything that happens to them because they told them to move 10 miles with no food, water, or fuel.
Maybe Israel shouldn't fucking, I don't know, bomb hospitals? Like, why is the responsibility never placed on Israel here for, like, anything that they're doing? It's all, like, a force of nature. They just have to. Or, hey, they gave a warning. You should have left. Like, what if you can't?
Well, they're playing fair.
You should have left and migrated however many miles to the south with no food, electricity, or fuel.
You don't get it. Israel gave you guys a fair warning. Yeah. As you've been starved almost to death over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Anyways, again, I don't see any totally conclusive evidence here. If the IDF did this, obviously bad. And again, we want to get as much information as we can, but it doesn't change my position, right?
Yeah.
Even if this was a misfired rocket from Hamas and Hamas did lie about the death toll, or the health ministry did lie about the death toll, it doesn't make a difference. Like, it's not going to change my position in the conflict.
I already know Hamas bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's simple as that.
It's, again, the same exact thing with the beheaded babies. It is a much more violent depiction of what actually happened. It seems like, but it's not going to change my calculation. My opinion's already that what Hamas did was bad, but there's larger structural social forces at play that have riddled the region for decades now.
Exactly.
It's not going to change my position.
Just to reiterate it, while Hamas bad, there are complex sociological machinations that make me understand why Hamas is there and why some people in Gaza support Hamas. Israel, way bad.
Yes.
Western power, advanced military, just indiscriminately bombing the people of Gaza and free Palestine. Like, it's not that hard.
I mean, if we go body for body over the last several decades, like, Israel is coming out on top in terms of people killed.
Exponentially on top. I mean? Orders of magnitude.
Especially
ahead.
Once you add in this conflict, I mean, they are so far and away just the leader, like, scoreboard. You know what I'm saying?
Scoreboard, exactly.
Like, if we go body for body, Israel has done much more damage.
You can't deny raw stats.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't.
Like, Israel is leading the game right now, and Hamas has no means of catching up whatsoever. And I'm tired of pretending that, like, these are equal forces. I mean, we haven't been pretending, but people pretend.
I'm tired of seeing other people pretend that these are equal forces and that Israel is playing fair.
Yeah. Speaking of playing fair.
Oh, speaking of God.
Game
speaking
being
of
game.
Playing fair, immaculate game, important news.
Very
historical
news. Historical news that we need to pay attention to for the third week in a row. I can't even say third week in a row. I guess it is the third week in a row, but we've been covering speaker drama for like, what?
A year.
Just
you know,
about.
At this point, I feel like Israel and Hamas will have a ceasefire and agree to a two-state solution before we have another speaker.
Maybe we could get a three-state solution by then.
Yeah.
We can have Israel, Palestine, and fucking Kevin McCarthy because he's been excommunicated.
Oh, that'd be sick. We
maybe
bring
Jim
back
Jordan.
Exile.
Yeah.
Exile's so underrated.
I know. People complain about being canceled all the time. You know what I mean? But we used to exile motherfuckers.
We used to get out.
You used to never be able to return to your home.
Come on.
We need to go back to that. That's an acceptable punishment. Anyway, we got some speaker news to talk about for the third time in a row. We're reporting on the House GOP being in complete disarray as they fail once again to elect a speaker last week. At the time of recording, it's been almost 19 days without a speaker, and it seems like the House is gearing up to give it another college try this upcoming week. Now, there is a hitch in the plans. According to CNN, as of Sunday morning, the speaker race is wide open. as Jim Jordan has withdrawn his candidacy after losing 3 votes on the House floor. Nice. Now, this is disappointing for me personally, because I was going to prepare a whole hit piece on Jim Jordan. To talk a lot of shit about Jim Jordan. I was leading up to this, looking a lot into like what Jim Jordan has done previously, the fact that he's passed 0 bills through his like 16 years in Congress. That's or something like that.
The fact that he got onto Congress and said, I'm not here to pass bills. Yeah. What the fuck are you here for, dog?
It's like if I pulled up to the pod and I was like, I'm not here to record. Like, what do you mean?
I am not here to give my takes on politics.
That's like the thing you do. You know what I mean? But I had so much lined up against Jim Jordan, but now it just feels like unnecessary because he's not even running for it anymore.
Quit. He's such a quitter.
But I suppose we can do a little bit of it for the love of the game.
Exactly.
Because I do love dunking on them, and, you know, some may call it insult to injury, kicking him while he's down, but he deserves it.
Yeah.
And I hope his life sucks.
Now we can not only make fun of him for being awful, but also make fun of him for being a loser.
Yes. Yes.
That's cool.
I will say, quick trigger warning for topics of sexual assault, because that is kind of what Jim Jordan's known for. Hometown villain in that way. I can't believe we missed this, but Jim Jordan is involved in one of the largest college sexual assault scandals in history, basically.
Wild.
When Jim Jordan was a wrestling coach at Ohio State University, he ignored athletes that came to him about sexual assault and abuse, and apparently there were a lot of students. And by the way, if you work at a university,
you're a mandatory reporter.
Yeah, it's your legal responsibility to report this information. Jim Jordan completely ignored it. He didn't do the assault himself, but he kind of just like oversaw it.
He was culpable.
Yeah,
in it.
Like, totally complicit. Like, ah. He knew it was happening and did nothing.
Literally,
at best, did nothing.
Literally, boys will be boys.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, no, it's really bad. I think there's like more than 100 people that reported sexual assault. Maybe not directly to Jim
100?
Jordan. But there were, in this case, I think there's more than 100 people that have like claimed sexual assault at the hands of this one guy that Jim Jordan knew, and Jim Jordan knew it was going on.
That's some Larry Nassar shit. That's some MSU Larry Nassar levels of villainy.
Yeah.
And culpability. Fucking, and just ignoring evil.
The villain Gymnasium Jordan, you know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is crazy. On top of that, Jim Jordan's also just a fucking lunatic. He's just insane for a lot of reasons. Obviously, his political positions are pretty far to the right.
Yeah.
We don't even need to really get into that. He's just like your classic MAGA guy, election denial, all that kind of stuff.
Election denial is just mid at this point. That's not even going to get you mentioned.
But also, I had this clip from CNN that kind of was astounding to me.
Okay.
There was this voicemail, and they, for some reason, they didn't want to give the names of the Republican lawmakers involved here. But there was a voicemail of a Republican lawmaker threatening the wife of another Republican lawmaker for voting against Jim Jordan. This was, again, aired by CNN. Basically, what happened was it seemed like this person that was threatening was saying, like, we're going to follow you everywhere. You're never going to know peace until you vote for Jim Jordan, basically. And I listened to the voices, and it sounded exactly like it was Jim Jordan on the phone call. I listened to the phone call, and then I listened to a Jim Jordan press conference, and I was like, yeah, this is him. Like, he's just threatening people.
Threatening people himself? And he still lost?
Yeah, and it was crazy because he said, like, we are Antifa now. And he's like, we're not as bad as the radical left, but we're gonna follow you. You're not gonna have any rest.
I thought you meant like he was trying to pose as Antifa for some reason.
Oh no, he just straight up said like we are Antifa now.
Man, that's good.
So I guess he's gone radical left. Go so far, you go left.
Oh shit, horseshoe theory confirmed. What's going on here? In other threatened news,
nice.
Representative Ken Buck said that he was evicted from his office space back in his home district because he refused to vote for Jim Jordan.
Ken Buck's a Republican.
Yep.
And he got evicted how?
He had
who evicted
like
him?
An office space, and I guess the landlord that owned the office space that he was in, after his vote, fucking served him an eviction notice.
Bro, that's guerrilla politics right there.
That's so cool. You shouldn't be able to do that.
No.
But in this instance, it's cool.
No, the landlord's unequivocally evil.
Yeah.
But I like seeing my enemies fight each other.
Exactly. This, an instance where landlords just have immense power over you, even when you're one of the most powerful people in the country, you're still not, not able to duck what landlords can do to you, and they did it.
Yeah, like the bare minimum thing. Okay, like there was like 20 to 25 people that voted against Jim Jordan, right?
Yeah.
It's a select few. It is a minority of a minority. Like it is a percent of a percent of the GOP House that voted against Jim Jordan. Enough to derail his speakership attempt. But,
kill his dreams too.
Yeah, kill his dreams. But it was a fraction of the overall GOP. But for a landlord, people who are, like I already know landlords are evil, for a landlord to come out and do that kind of thing to someone who like only resisted Jim Jordan, nothing else to buck the party, just resisted Jim Jordan.
I've never even heard of this guy.
Just to get evicted, like to evict him is nuts to me. That's crazy. Like, I already know landlords were evil, but I didn't know they could go that far.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Dude was fearing for his tax cut.
Yeah.
He said, it's not coming this year. You're not lowering my taxes yeah. as a landlord because the government's shut down. And you know what? Maybe that's a litmus test for where the rest of the people that fund the Republican Party are feeling right mm-hmm. now. Maybe we won't be seeing Matt Gaetz around too much yeah. anymore.
You think the landlord was like radically class conscious? Like he knew exactly where he sits in the hierarchy of the class
Most
structure.
Most likely. When you're that rich, you do.
And he was like, you know, yeah, well, he owns an office that a fucking congressman works in, so he's got to be rich. And he was like, Jim Jordan's going to secure my tax cuts. He's going to make sure I can evict whoever I want. And then he just kicked out a politician. I didn't know you could do that.
That's crazy.
Like, he's a Republican. I'm going to assume like he's not behind on rent payments. You know what I'm saying? Uh-uh. He just got evicted for Americans getting evicted for their political views.
What's going on?
I would have thought that I'd see the return of like an FBI down the throat of leftists before I saw like regular Republicans getting kicked out by MAGA Republicans.
Maybe it's all a ruse. Maybe he was just behind on rent. Maybe he was just doing some crazy shit and they just evicted him. He's like, no, this is actually because of this.
Well, in that case, work harder and pay your bills.
Look at me. I'm a Republican being persecuted. Mm-hmm. But they don't even want to take that angle. Like, I don't understand.
You know, if Republicans would have stayed in favor of an eviction moratorium, this wouldn't have happened.
True.
I don't know if that actually applied to like business leases or campaign leases.
You know what? I hope there was still an eviction moratorium just so he's the only person that could get evicted. Just someone who didn't pay their rent for like 2 years is still kicking it.
Yeah.
But then he gets kicked out for his vote.
But anyway, Gymnasium Jordan is not going to be the speaker, at least as of right now. You know, things could change, but he dropped out of the race after three failed attempts. Each time, Hakeem Jeffries got a solid 212.
Oh, that's so good.
All of the Democrats, and Jim Jordan just was losing votes each time they did a ballot. So
I know Hakeem Jeffries has came out and said that they're in talks with like to try and make a bipartisan speakership deal.
Yeah.
And if something like that could happen, that'd be crazy. If you could get like the House equivalent of Mitt Romney in there.
Oh my God.
Man, that'd be nuts.
If they could get a Democrat in there, like that's just political fanfic.
Uh-huh.
But if they could get, it wouldn't be Hakeem Jeffries because he's like the leader of the party. They wouldn't go for him. But if they got like a Joe Manchin type Democrat,
yes.
You know what I mean, as a speaker, that would be crazy.
I wouldn't even care. Yeah. I wouldn't even care about the conservative leanings. Fuck, they could own Shell,
yeah.
The fucking oil company. They could own BP,
yeah.
And I would not give a shit.
That shit would be unprecedented. for the party in the minority to just get the speaker, I don't know if that's happened before, but that would be wicked.
I'd love it. I'd love it so much. Oh, my goodness. But it also just makes me think that, like, nobody's got the tenacity that Kevin had.
Mm-mm.
Nobody wants it like Kevin had.
We didn't know what we had before it was
that's
gone.
That's a quality that we're losing moving forward. Dude sat there through, like, what? Was it 38 votes?
Or I thought it was, like, 15 ballots.
I thought it was in, like, the 20s or something. It was, like,
maybe it was
something
more
like that.
Maybe I forgot.
An unprecedented amount of votes Kevin McCarthy sat through.
It was like the third highest in history.
Yeah. Just in there going crazy. He wanted it so badly. Mm-hmm. No one else does.
Mm-hmm.
He lost the guy who is passionate about the job.
Yeah, he fought for it and he got it. You know, he got the painting in the hallway. He will forever be remembered as a speaker, shortest speaker of all time, but he was the speaker. But Jim Jordan just doesn't have he doesn't have the desire, doesn't have the drive, he doesn't want it enough.
He doesn't have the grit.
Yeah.
Doesn't want it enough.
We talk all the time about how, like, if Democrats wanted 2020 that bad that they stole it, like, give it to them.
Uh-huh.
If any Republican wants it as bad as Kevin wanted it or more bad than he wanted it, I'd vote for him.
Shit, maybe we should go back to Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what you have until it's gone.
# always Kevin.
Always Kevin.
Bring back Kevin.
God.
At the time of writing this, though, there was no third candidate. There still is not a third candidate. Nobody's been proposed.
They have until tonight to propose someone for a vote on Tuesday, right?
I don't know if, like, what the deadlines are, but they need to get figure something out for
it's
Tuesday.
It's either tonight or tomorrow night is the deadline for the conservatives to, like, bring somebody up so they can vote on it on Tuesday. Hopefully they miss the deadline so that there's no vote that we miss.
It's crazy because I think they, like, go on break soon. Those motherfuckers barely work as it is.
Oh my God.
It's like 3 days a week.
And they get like all of August off.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, exactly. What's up with that? Why doesn't everyone get August
off? Come on now.
But, I don't know what they plan to do, but they go on break soon. We don't have a budget. I'm guessing they want to pass funding for Israel that they haven't done. They have a resolution they want to pass as well. But yeah, at the time of recording this, there's no third option. They haven't proposed anybody. Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan now have both dropped out of the race. Patrick McHenry has been the interim speaker for some time, and some people are in favor, apparently, of expanding his powers so the House can start doing things and passing bills. But again, I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I don't think that's like a thing you can do.
I don't think you can just do that. You can't just like expand people's powers out of nowhere, yeah, right?
I don't think the fact that the House needs a speaker to start business is just a rule they can change at will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's in the Constitution. I guess someone can fact check me and tell me if that's like a thing they can change. But to me, it doesn't seem like a possibility, at least with how the rules are set up. So I don't know.
I love how much of a fiasco this is for them.
Yeah.
Especially if landlords are coming through and starting to retaliate, then like,
yeah.
I can't imagine what just like the average conservative thinks about what's going on right now. Like, they have to see that the party's in disarray.
The aristocracy is coming up.
Yeah.
Like, and they're saying you need to do something.
I know fucking Nikki Haley. They're trying so hard. Nikki Haley tried to get on, I think, Fox News and claim that it's Biden's fault that there wasn't a speaker. And she just got hit with pushback.
Yeah. On Fox News, by
who? I don't think it was Fox News. She was somewhere.
Okay.
And got like massive pushback for just trying to say, well, it's actually Biden's fault, or it was pushback after the fact or something. But it's like, it doesn't feel like they're getting away with it like they usually do.
And Kevin McCarthy, even to right now, is still blaming Democrats for all of this.
God, that's good.
Like, dog, you are, the call's coming from inside the House.
Like,
that's
he wants it, though.
Yeah.
Like, he wants it, and he's about it more than really anyone else is.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone should be speaker, it's Kevin. I mean, look how much he's speaking.
He's Sisyphus.
He's,
you know,
yapping
what I'm saying?
Out there.
He's constantly pushing his boulder. He's never going to get it up there, though.
Fucking yapper of the House going crazy.
Yeah, I don't know who it's going to be. This, I just know this looks really bad for the GOP, and it's always good to see your enemies taking an L.
Facts. Speaking of enemies taking a yell, things that look bad for the GOP, people yapping. This time we get to talk about people yapping to the authorities.
Ooh, okay.
And you know what else we get to do?
What?
The winds. It's been whispering to me.
Oh, we're back, baby.
The winds have been whispering to me.
I'm decapitated by a ghost.
That's right. And I've been listening, and they're telling me to unleash the Kraken.
Let's go.
But this time, we're turning the tides and unleashing the Kraken back onto former allies right now.
Let's
That's
go.
Right, baby. Sidney Powell, on Thursday, one day before her trial was set to start, agreed to a plea deal in the Georgia election interference case. And so in this deal, she admitted to, quote, willfully tampering with, she pled guilty to, quote, willfully tampering with electronic ballot markers and tabulating machines with the intention of taking and appropriating information, data, and software, the property of Dominion Voting Systems Corporation. She also admitted to hiring a data forensics firm and sending its employees to Coffee County so they could unlawfully access government computers with the purpose of, quote, examining personal voter data with knowledge that such examination was without authority and thus illegal, according to the filings.
If that doesn't completely debunk all of the election fraud claims coming from the right, coming from Donald Trump and his allies, I don't know what
they
does.
Literally went in and stole information from voting machines.
This kind of shit makes me think, like, again, if they wanted it bad enough, they could have done it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if they would have assembled a more competent team, this is a little kind of a scary thought, but if they would have assembled a more competent team, they could have got it done. They just didn't want it.
Well,
bad
I mean, the bar's in hell if Sidney Powell and some firm that she hired can do it. It seems like anyone can just walk up to a Dominion machine and take all the data. We could fucking do it. We could go to Wayne County and just go crazy.
I guarantee you, I have more of a skill for strategy in my pinky than she does in her whole body.
Absolutely.
So I feel like maybe I could overturn an election.
And she's getting bit for it. And as a result of this plea deal, she was able to get off easy.
Oh, really?
Easy. She had her 7 felonies reduced to only 6 misdemeanors with a punishment of 6 years probation.
Oh, man.
However, she's going to have to write an apology to the residents of Georgia, which I think is so sick. Because that's just like, that means nothing, and it's just embarrassing.
It's humiliation.
That's just public humiliation, and that's so good.
I don't know if it works on the demons, though.
I don't think they feel so
very much, you know?
But man, imagine like writing an apology to the residents of a state. That's so corny. It's great. Anyway, she's got to pay $9,000 in restitution, which I don't know to who, and that's not that much.
Yeah.
Turn over documents, but most importantly, she's going to be required to testify against her co-defendants in future trials, one of those co-defendants being the man, the myth, the legend, Donald Trump himself.
See, I won't act like I know all of the strategy going into prosecuting Trump and his allies, But I really don't like the idea of Trump being the only one to, like, go down for the election crimes or, like, serve jail time, you know? Yeah. They need to get as many people as possible. Otherwise, people are just going to think, oh, well, like, the front man is going to be punished if we're not successful. But everyone else, like, we can just go do it again, mm-hmm. right? Like, I get it. There's some strategy involved. You want to find a way to, like, for lack of a better phrase, pay people off to, like, get them to testify against Trump. But it's like we need to have a more whole scale punishment of people that try to literally overthrow democracy.
Especially someone as big and as complicit in the election stuff as Sidney Powell was, just getting on and just fucking lying and attending I know the big deal is that she attended like a White House meeting where they talked about just stealing the election.
Yeah, and she was on just lying about lying on Fox News on other news sources about the election being stolen.
I understand doing what you can to get her because she's such a key witness to testify against him and how that means, but like I wish she had do like a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on now. She just admitted to stealing, trying to, like, breaking into a voting machine and stealing the data. Like,
she admitted to, like, being the one that was trying to steal the election.
That's what I'm saying. Motherfuckers get harder punishments for submitting, like, a double ballot.
It's crazy because, like, I know that if some, like, leftist rose up and tried to steal an election, like, the FBI would just vaporize them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, heart attack gun.
Like, Guantanamo Bay would be full once again.
Uh-huh.
You would never see them again.
They put Ron DeSantis back there to oversee whatever is going on.
But suddenly, when it's silly right-wingers with nicknames like the Kraken, they just, like, get away with having to pay $9,000 and write a sad letter.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of just like, well, that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, at least she gets to testify against Trump, and that's got to be damning.
Yeah.
Like, there's no Trump and everyone else, and Rudy, mm-hmm. and, like, the other 17 co-defendants that were implicated in this one indictment of the four, like, big ones.
Yeah. If I can see Rudy in a jail cell, that will, I don't know, help me sleep well, I think.
That make up for it.
Yeah. Rudy Giuliani's a special kind of demon, but, like, so is Sidney Powell. Mm-hmm. But I guess you can't win them all, folks.
Can't win them all. Give and take.
Yeah.
Give and take.
You can't get everything you want, you know?
You lose some to win some.
Exactly.
And that's really how it goes. And it's also funny because for the last month, her, like, lawyers and her team has just vehemently denied any implication and the fact that she's like, I actually wasn't culpable in this at all. And then the day before trial to just switch up like that is nuts.
I don't even know what a Kraken is.
That's what Yeah.
You gotta appreciate the game of chicken though. Like the legal game of chicken. Like
it's
sticking it out until the last day.
Uh-huh.
Thinking like, oh yeah, we can do this still. And then the last day being like, yeah, we just got to give
and
up.
And it's like, I have faith that she won't perjure herself when she's testifying against Trump, just considering how Giuliani also, like, being an attorney, like, Giuliani also wouldn't do that when he would show up to court for these election hearings and just not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that whole saga?
Yeah. They would make tons of claims on Fox News or in press conferences, then show up, and the judge would be like, all right, where's your evidence? And he'd just be like,
because
if he talked, he would end up going to jail or something, you know?
And it's like, well, obviously Sidney Powell's a whole different beast, Kraken, if you will, in of herself. I have confidence that she wouldn't just get up there and perjure herself, considering they got her ass.
They did get her.
So that's good.
Yeah, it seems like it's up for her. But yeah, she's getting off easy, really.
I know.
Who knew that trying to steal an election was just such a light crime?
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you're not the front guy, as long as you're just like on his side, you can just get away
so
with
you're
it.
Just one of the top people complicit in one of the biggest lies in modern history. You're good.
As long as you're just like, you know, one of the masterminds behind it.
As long as you say you're sorry and give up like a couple percent of like your income from doing all that.
Yeah.
You're fine.
It's crazy because like if a regular person goes and does voter fraud like purposely, like actually does ballot harvesting, I'm pretty sure you go to jail like no matter what. But a nationwide attempt to steal an election, you just have to write an apology letter.
Crazy.
Man, I'm saying we could get away with it. You know, like if these guys can't do it, we could
do it. Infinitely more competent. I know Trump is also in trouble this week because he's under gag order for, I think, the New York case that the New York AG brought against him. And he retweeted an article doxing the AG's address.
Bro, come on, that guy's... That's so sick.
So I think
gag orders do not work on this guy.
He might be getting in trouble by the judge for that.
Gag orders do not work on Trump.
He just can't shut up.
Do not try a gag order on Trump. He will break that shit immediately.
Bro can't stop yapping. That's why he should be the speaker.
Yapper of the house. Oh my God. Yeah. I saw the news about the gag order, which is interesting, but it's like they're not going to like hold him in a jail cell.
No.
So he can't do any of that.
Never.
You know what I mean? So he can't go out and spread more lies, dox more people. We're not going to see him sitting in a jail cell unless like he gets seriously convicted of something. But I like a gag order is not going to work.
No.
And they might fine him, but like bro doesn't care about a fine. He's going to just pay it and move on. Or
he's
maybe
gonna
he won't.
Pay it and he's going to lie about having the money to pay it. And then he's going to get indicted again in the future if this one doesn't pay out. But the New York one is the one that's actually concerning to him.
Uh-huh.
That's the one that he's worried about. Reports have been saying, like CNN have been saying, he doesn't really care about the Georgia stuff, the four federal indictments. He cares about the one about his business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he might lose the ability to practice business in New York, right?
I think so, yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Might lose everything.
Yeah, might lose it all.
Like massive fraud charges.
I mean, he's at the end of his life, right? He's like 78 or something like that. What does losing everything at 78 have to do with it?
So true.
And you didn't stick the landing at the end of life, but whatever.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to
do? You almost overthrew an election in America. I mean, like, that's unprecedented.
Bro accomplished a lot, to be fair. Not a lot of good, but
you know
a lot.
What? Actually, maybe it's not unprecedented. George W. Bush did it. You know what I'm saying?
He stole the election. He stole the election, yeah. too. He couldn't even, runner up.
Yeah.
He couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
Come on. Bro's a loser.
So, you know, maybe Trump actually does suck. Not unprecedented.
Good news is you went a long way. Bad news is you went the wrong way.
Exactly.
Yeah, you came a long way.
And I think that's the perfect closing for this episode.
That's what I'm saying.
And as always, we got to thank the people that make it possible. Thank the people that get us into the podcast early on a Sunday morning to record the show and get the news to you all into your ears.
The people that attend the sermon. Every Sunday, give tithe, even.
The people who are getting us towards our goal on Patreon and potentially getting us to record a new Q&A episode.
The people
keep that
who,
in mind. We're doing that still.
With every dollar come one step closer to enlightenment and nirvana.
Yeah, exactly.
Special thanks to Caden Kraut, Lord T the Radiant, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, 40% Spite, Dylan B., Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T., Omar Zuno, Clayton LaFed, Mark Yeager, Kaz, Caleb Joy, Rich Toro, Tari, Gavin Mayer Maldonado, Hunter W., Fergalaki, Max Vezquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mooberry, Fixer Punk, Jim Egbers, Jeff Muzzy, Bagel Burrito, Cincy Alex, Joe Stenstrom, Adrian Sandoval, Chloe Sam 601, Colleen Cuts, Gregory Isn't My Name, Veryuk, Jennifer DeVoe, Big Bird Titty, Crawfishin, Benneth Bennington III, Alexia Benanti, Nietzsche, Big Booty Beatdown, Moises T, Sam Maloney, Two Headed Boy, Ben Shapiro's Boyfriend, Jonathan Cassis, Luke O'Shea, Cucker Tarleson, Danielle Jackson, The Word of Microsoft, Jennifer Science, Aaron and His Gundam Gundams, Darth Father, Aiden Taylor, Corey Chambers, Sewer Snack, L.E.N., John Glover, Devin Hatchard, Retro Mondo, Meatball Minion,
Emma the Dude Slayer, Claire McMillan, Breezy B, Veronica aka V, Raxon, Ash Smith, The Grotler, Magic Ian 95, Flower Clown, Beetlebugs, Three Crows in a Trench Coat, Lonnie Rogers, Slavic and Sapphic, Casey Lynn Kelly, Snake Eyes, In Hope of Giants, AK Gone, Aquana Dawn, Zach Lantian, Info Russell, Austin Greif, Marcus Corbett, Caleb Roper, Taylor Rensock, Ishi Teddy, Cammy, Calliope, Reagan Not Like the President, Pagan Jester, Tylen Freeman, Steak Daddy, Tay Tay, Isaac Hodges, Madeline C., Pab the Pab 69, Kayla Lowe, Anna Valenik, Eduardo Diaz, Casey C, Siesta West, August, Natalie Valinsky, Particular Pickman, Mason Crack, Jeff Signs, Howard the Duck, Brendan is Egg, JR, Drew Batchilder, Froggy Gumdrop, Evan Malika, Zen Doing Their Best, Jackie Boy, Shameless, and My Mom. Thank you all so much for supporting the show on Patreon. We couldn't do it without you. And you know what? You're the best.
You are
and I love you.
Your humble tithe helps us deliver you the
propaganda.
Number one geopolitical propaganda podcast in the entire world.
It doesn't happen without you. You're complicit in our crimes.
Exactly. You are complicit in the misinformation that we spread.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Oh my goodness.
And let that weigh on your conscience. And thank you for listening.
Have a great one.